Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week, and I mean that literally, and so much is going on. And how you doing, Randy?
Doing well. Doing well in California, having some nice weather in the mid-80s, not too hot. Loving the fall. Loving the fall.
Wow. I'm just so looking forward to our show. It's going to fly by today. And our guest is in California, too. So I'm the only one on the East Coast, not in Hawaii today. Yeah, so that's going to be, you all get the wonderful weather. We're still getting good weather over here as well. And so it's going to be roll by. We're not going to split it up today. We're just going to focus on one, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We probably won't even have any time for breaks today because it's just some really, awesome information and totally with the sign of the times. So,
well, let's get at it. J.P. Yunka is with us, in an extensive business background, impressive net worth, starting with family-owned real estate, and he parlayed that into generational wealth. He's on a mission to help as many people achieve peace, prosperity, and growth, and today he's going to educate us on an overview, and believe me, an overview, because, yeah, there's a lot to it, but the overview of cryptocurrency, the iProne Network, which has over 80,000 members, is also on Alibaba, has paid out over eight figures in commissions. What? It is the first online shopping platform to offer coin-back rewards, and Kevin Harrington became the lead promoter of pro-digital currency and is launching a global ad campaign to promote the world's first retail and commerce-focused digital currency. And then Robert McNulty, founder of Shopping.com, is also on the advisory board. Company is first to provide a platform that creates a professional digital entrepreneurs, helping people save money, make money online with the latest tools, software, and education in the online shopping space, and while leveraging the growth of digital currencies. And John Maxwell, renowned leadership developer and friend and mentor to Natalie and I, be at the upcoming corporate event. As with any venture or investment, always do your own due diligence before moving forward. Cryptocurrency is not going away. It's time to learn as much as you can. And Natalie, I'll let you take it away with our guest, J.P. Yunka.
Oh, yes. So, J.P. Yunka, thank you. Thank you so much. You are definitely an expert pro, and you, with your background, too. Just tell us about you, because I want our audience to hear about your background and you, so then when you get into the cryptocurrency, they can see this is it, and you know everything. You know how to look at it from pros, cons, every which way.
Well, there's really not that much to say about my background. I've been involved in international banking and finance, creating many, many projects that were distributed all over the world. One of the first projects that I worked with back 1984 through 1989 was distribution of water-generating devices to portions of South Africa and also portions of Northern Africa, where the arid regions prevented certain villagers from being able to even survive. And what our companies had done was created a clay-style pot with copper coils wrapped around it and a solar collector at the top, and it produced 80 gallons of water per day. Getting this distribution network set up, our biggest hurdle we had to jump was moving funds between bank to bank, country to country. That was the thing, one thing that delayed us the most. And as I had to develop new skills and new techniques in making sure that banks worked hand in hand, moving funds from one country to another to finance a project of that magnitude, again, was a difficult hurdle that we had to overcome. Most of the transfers actually took 4 to 7 days when it were transferring funds, even converting euros to U.S. dollars or U.S. dollars to one of the African currencies, or converting U.S. dollars to any South American currency. The transition and the amount of fees that were extracted or depleted from each transfer caused me to try to imagine, is there a better system that can serve the people on the planet better sometime in the future? Now, I will tell you right up front, I did not come up with blockchain technology. I did not come up with cryptocurrency. But the fact that I envisioned that there would one day be the most fantastic method of moving value through the internet at the speed of the internet, where people at one side of the planet would be able to receive value either on their telephone or at their computer, and the total amount for the transaction would be somewhere between 30 cents to a dollar for each transaction, regardless of the amount. And that's exactly what I just described to you just now, is exactly what blockchain transactions are. I would like to start off, with your permission, I'm going to read just a short article from the U.S. government website. And this is from usgov.org. And I'm just going to share just a little bit of, from an article that I printed to share on this program, specifically for this program. There's a new bipartisan bill, H.R. 835, sitting in the House of Representatives. A call has been issued to the U.S. government to adopt a national policy to promote citizens' access to the new financial innovations, specifically blockchain and digital currencies. Now, that's the opening statement of the article. The congressional resolution is calling to support, with ease and access, financial tools, including blockchain, digital currencies, and anything having to do with fintech. The resolution seeks a national policy for the technology in order to achieve these goals. The policy needs to be started at the fourth grade level of public school education.
It should.
Yeah.
Now,
that's just Senate Bill 835. That's House Resolution. I apologize, because I was looking at another article sitting on my desk, which is actually an Assembly bill, and it's not a Senate bill. It is a House bill. It originated in the House. It's number 835. And if those of you who are on the radio program want to take a look at it, it's usgov.org, because it is an organization, and you type in H.R. 835, and you can read the full content of the legislation that it was proposed and passed in all of 4 weeks.
Really? And this when was the bill? When was it? What was the date around? Does it say?
The date that it was introduced was September the 12th, 2016, and the passage was before the end of October. And both the Senate and the House approved it unanimously.
Okay, great. Fantastic.
So what we see here a tide is turning. Instead of educating children or people about how to better utilize your Federal Reserve notes that are in a bank, they're trying to teach people how to become accustomed to using blockchain technology and digital currency. And for those people who don't know what blockchain technology is, would you mind if I just shared a short short demonstration?
Definitely.
What I usually do is I carry with me, because people stop me all the time, whether it's a restaurant or a shopping center or whatever, people stop me all the time because they know that at Santa Barbara, anybody and everybody that has anything to do with digital currency, everybody knows that JT is going to share the simple demonstration of what blockchain is. So I carry with me four rolling dice. And they're actually, they're not dice, they're what's called a numbers game. It actually says they're math dice, all right? I carry with me four dice, and I stack two of them down on a counter, and then I put one on top, and I ask people to pull out the lower one on the left-hand side without letting the upper one drop. And then I ask them if they ever played with blocks when they were children. And most people over age 50 had a set of wooden blocks that they stacked up and, you know, built little houses out of them or whatever it was, whatever your creative mind created. And I asked them, when you build out blocks, whether that had, they had ABCs on them or little kitties and puppies and stuff, when you built them up, can you ever pull out the bottom one without toppling all the blocks on top?
And it's fun to try.
That's the easiest definition of what is blockchain. Every transaction through a blockchain has a digitized number. It's called a hash, that the ending numbers of the previous transaction form the starting numbers of the next transaction. So there's no way to remove one transaction from the equation without destroying the entire blockchain. And the reason it's called blockchain is that there are 40,000 people at a computer, because this is what's called an open source, totally transparent financial system of accounting. And the easiest way that I know of to describe it in detail, I'm going to describe it from this. I'm reading from The Economist magazine, May 6th, 2017. And for those of you who don't know The Economist magazine, I believe their website is available. Yes, economist.com. Yeah, that's all you need to put in is economist.com. For those of you who would like to read the article, it's May 6th through 12th issue of 2017 in The Economist. And there was an article that was printed on page 14.
That goes
page 14, and I am looking at actually page 15, and I'm going to read just a short paragraph about blockchain. And this is from The Economist magazine. Blockchain enthusiasts stress that its potential stretches far beyond finance. In essence, a blockchain is an immutable shared record known as a distributed ledger. It might list transactions, payments, or simply owners of a money, owners of land, owners of real estate, shares of a company, or any other assets. All parties have their own copies of the blockchain, which are updated instantly once changes have been agreed on. This makes for lightning-fast transactions. I was just going to finish one last sentence here, and then I'm going to open it up for whatever we need to do here. Transfers between American banks, for instance, can take up to 3 days. International transfers, which may involve several banks, can take even longer. And the senders do not always know how much the recipients will be receiving after each bank in the pathway takes their cut. Settlements of securities trades can be held up because one bank's record of who sold what to whom, when, and for how much may differ from another bank's record. A blockchain, and this is the key phrase, the key sentence in this entire article, a blockchain permits just one version of the truth, holding out the promise of huge savings in everyone's back office. Blockchain reduces the cost of trust. And the quoter, I'm going to read you the man's name here. This is Mr. Lubin, is the man that they're quoting in this article, and he works with a company called ConsenSys.
It's so interesting. I was at a meeting, a blockchain association meeting, a little over a month ago in Arlington, Virginia, and there's one of the associations around the they're growing around the country, and they were discussing just what you said, that it could be used for other things too, because I had been thinking cryptocurrency, bitcoins, Ethereum, money. It's an exchange. It seems to be safer than what the banks are doing for our, you know, security purposes. But when I went to this meeting, I learned that it is used for all forms of filing, records, blockchains. There is an organization there that's trying to help the over 2 billion people that do not have identities. For example, refugees going from one country to another, which may lose everything they have, including their identity papers, right? If the government started using this, it's just amazing how huge this gets. And then we bring it back to the cryptocurrency, and with that, there's a lot of scams out there. And then there's things that aren't scams. And Bitcoin, I think, is at what, $4,200 right now for one Bitcoin. And I remember back when it was like $10 in 2010. Does that, from a layperson's thing, I guess we'll get into iPro Network in it. How do you tell somebody just spend what you can afford to lose, or, hey, this is really, because it's getting big all over the world, this cryptocurrency? So it's, what do you recommend?
Well, I would first address one thing. 2010, for $10, you would have bought 100 Bitcoins.
Wow.
So
at $4,200 a piece right now, if it was $5 a piece, who cares, right? Yeah.
When you mentioned $10 per Bitcoin, no, $10 would have bought you 100 of them.
Amazing.
So
Isn't that amazing?
First of all, I have to make a correction there. And then the next statement that you made about it keeps increasing in value, $4,200 per Bitcoin. I believe you kind of threw in.
No, I meant right now I meant you could buy a Bitcoin for $4,200, right, is what I meant, if you're comparing it to dollars.
Yes.
That's what I meant, yeah.
You can purchase one Bitcoin for somewhere between $4,200 to $4,600, but by the middle of October, the projections that I do with six other gentlemen who have been doing projections for, well, most of our lives, we are actually projecting. Not predicting. This is just a projection based on a lot of different inputs that we put into our projection. The price of the Bitcoin, because of usability and demand and scarcity, will be around $6,800 by the middle of October.
Amazing. Well, we see people are buying real estate, selling properties, selling, buying, trade, and that's what you're going to get into too, I guess, with the online shopping centers, we should call it, right? Maybe I just wanted to – our time goes by so fast. That's the one thing I wish we had 2 hours here because it really does. I mean, it's just with it. So you hear – I've actually I say to people, have you heard of Bitcoin? Have you heard this? I'm amazed at how many people do not know what it is. I would think that most people would have at least Googled it, and I'm amazed at how many people I run into that aren't familiar with this cryptocurrency. And then there's others that are – multimillionaires from it right now because of getting in when the gold was running low, right? No, when it was cheap to buy it, I mean. But,
well, would you get 100 of them for $10? I mean, that's really not a bad deal.
Oh, my goodness.
I know several people here at Santa Barbara that they put in more than 1,000 when you can get 100 Bitcoins for
$10. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're actually working with a group of blockchain people here at Santa Barbara, and we just brought up the first three Bitcoin ATM machines, and we're going to be installing them very, very soon. And the main reason we're going to be installing the Bitcoin ATM machines is because I was able to locate some legislation that occurred at California in the year 2014, and that's a little more than 3 years ago. Actually, the article that I'm going to quote from right now, if you don't mind, is from the U.S. Independent magazine. Susan Pacell is the chief editor for that magazine. She's also the author of this article. And the article started because I started doing a search for how many articles I could find from 2010 until 2017 that used the word blockchain or that used the words digital currency. And now that we have the beauty of this internet, not only is it a method of storing information and data, but now it's a method for moving value. So what I'm going to read here, just very, very briefly, California Governor Jerry Brown, and those people who know how long Jerry Brown was the governor for California, they know that it's got to be 2014, so it is an old article. Governor Jerry Brown signed into law the removal of a ban on the use of cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin and Dogecoin to accommodate the growing use of alternative payment methods. And what this article is, California Assembly Bill 129, and here I'm going to read it exactly. It repeals an outdated restriction on the use of anything but lawful money of the United States. Because in the California Constitution, you can only use lawful money of the United States for tender and payment of all debts. That's the way the wording is exactly from the Constitution. So that portion of the Constitution had to repeal. Because those of you who know what lawful money of the United States is, it's a $20 gold piece called St. Gaudens, and it's any silver coin that was created up until 1964. That is considered lawful money of the United States. After all the gold was removed from circulation in 1933, and all the silver coins were removed from circulation in 1964, everything now that's circulating is no longer considered lawful money of the United States. Okay.
Wow.
That's
everything.
Funny.
Yes. Now, it took quite a long time after 1964 till 2014 until Governor Jerry Brown finally signed the legislation that, yes, we have to remove the outdated restriction on the use of anything but lawful money of the United States. And we're just going a little bit further into the assembly bill. Again, I'm going to quote, is that the Bitcoin has been given the status of a payment service provider by French institutions, financial institutions such as ACABA, and I may be saying this wrong. I apologize. I'm not French. And Credit Mutuel, okay? Officially, they are not PSP, payment service providers, because of the banks they are aligned with who are. This means that Bitcoin is able to take advantage of their PSP status, payment service provider status, without having to be one in and of itself. And the article goes on to say that Bitcoin now, in value, and this is 2014, exceeds the value of every single bank on the planet's assets combined together.
Really?
And yet Bitcoin has not one office. Bitcoin as a concept does not have any value stored in any vault. It's strictly stored in cyberspace.
And that's that when somebody hasn't investigated, it sounds, wow, I don't know if this is safe. And once you investigate it, you see that it's extremely safe, so that's very interesting. There's a lot of, there's a lot going on. I noticed I'm not sure what happened with some bills going, in July, they were trying to put taxation on a cryptocurrency in the United States, and has that, you think that'll never happen, right?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm going to pull up the Kiplinger newsletter right now. That was the next article I was going to quote from, because, yes,
awesome.
There's always someone in a government agency, when they look at something that's so fantastic, blockchain technology, documents of title are now being blockchain encrypted, students' college records are being blockchain encrypted, because with blockchain encryption, nobody can crack the code without a passkey. So you can maintain total anonymity for what you want for your own records. But yeah, you can reveal just exactly what you need, because you are in control of your blockchain, as you mentioned early on in the show, your blockchain passport for people who are undocumented, that have lost everything. They now can have a documented blockchain passport. And what does it look like? It's a little teeny tiny thing called a QR code.
And
it's a stack
of...
And
they can just give out what they want, right? They can, they can give out portions. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so you have the total power to give the permission to whoever you're dealing with. How much do they have to know about you? And, of course, we all know that the Internal Revenue Service loves to know everything about everybody, whether they live in America or not. They
exactly.
want to know, how much did you earn? Send it to us. Just kidding.
give us your firstborn, all everything you have. Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm doing now is I'm going to quote from the Kiplinger Washington newsletter that was published June 2nd, 2017. I received this from a very close friend of mine who lives at Santa Barbara. He's an accountant, and he has a special financial, Lacumbris Financial Services. He does the background accounting for many of the large corporations that are here at Santa Barbara, and also private accounting for people. He is an IRS enrolled agent, and he shared with me, he says to me, JP, you know, you've been telling me about blockchain technology for 3 years now, and finally I read my accountant's newsletter and I need to show this to you. And here it is. I'm going to read it really quickly. The Internal Revenue Service is under fire for its actions in seeking out users of bitcoins. After an examiner found three people who were using virtual currency to evade taxes, a court okayed an IRS summons to a virtual currency exchange located at America called Coinbase. The summons would allow the Internal Revenue Service to get the names and the records of all U.S. customers who bought and sold bitcoins or any other digital currency through the company. Coinbase, as a company, opposed the summons.
Good.
Okay. So the House and Senate tax writers allege now that the summons was overly broad and burdensome, because 90% of the people, Coinbase customers, did not engage in cumulative transactions over $10,000. And there's the key factor. The $10,000 rule. If you're going to convert, you're not investing, if you're going to convert $10,000 or more into a digital currency, or even into a euro, or even into a Swiss franc, or if you convert it into a Japanese yen or a Chinese yuan, you have to file a report. It's that simple.
Right.
So what ended up happening is the judge, who actually said, Mr. IRS, I'm going to slap your hand and you're going to be sanctioned for bringing a frivolous lawsuit that you knew you had no authority to bring, the IRS was fined $296,000 by the judge in the court case for bringing a frivolous lawsuit.
Wow.
Don't you just love it when that happens?
Oh, absolutely. But you know, they're going to figure out some type of way. I mean, and with all this, yeah. But it's interesting because I'm looking at the different networks too that have been starting up around the world with the cryptocurrency, and a lot of other companies seem to be more. I mean, countries seem to be more lenient than the U.S. in some ways, right? And so, as a layperson, it seems like a no-brainer to learn about it, get involved, maybe not spend more than you can lose. It's hard to say, I mean, because I'm not a financial expert. But at the same time, to be wary of a lot of scams, because there are a lot of scams out there. And, for example, I wanted to ask you about China. I noticed in your OnePro Network is on Alibaba, which is fantastic, which is huge. And I noticed China just halted different exchanges, Bitcoin exchanges, any token sales or ICOs. You know, just an ICO is, I guess, similar to what we call an IPO, right? It's they halted it, and there was some voluntary closure of Bitcoin's exchange, which I'm sure you know all about because you know all about this. And tell us a little bit about why that happened, or is it because there's so many scams and they're just being careful, and how other ones are still getting through?
Well, let's address the first issue, because you did mention that several Bitcoin exchanges were closed down, and by all rights, they should have been. And the reason I'm saying they should have been is each one of the four Bitcoin exchanges that was operating from a public storefront, they were selling more Bitcoin than they actually owned.
Okay.
All right. So anytime someone does what's called selling before they own something, which J.P. Morgan Chase Bank got caught shorting what's called silver futures. Okay.
Right.
And they took a slap on the hand, and they paid the $32 billion fine for selling, $400 billion worth of silver that they did not have in possession. Okay, so here we see a bank in America get fined, but an exchange in China that they sold roughly $20,000 more
than what they had
on hand,
right.
And that for anybody who does something like that, as far as I'm concerned, they should be shut down. And those exchange owners were incarcerated. They will be spending a few years behind bars in China, because China does not tolerate that type of a thing that the American government here tolerates, that banks do it. It's okay. Let them pay a fine. We'll collect a fine. We're not going to distribute it to anybody that got hurt, but we'll collect a fine, and we'll let them keep doing what they're doing wrong. To me,
That's really good. It's really good. I mean, because you see, I'm just going to ask you a few cryptocurrency. I'm going to just jump around a little because we never have enough time. I'm not rushing you or rushing the show. It's just that as much as I want to cover right now, there's no way it's going to happen, right? That's just a fact, right?
We'll just have to do another show.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll have to do another show and just keep. We'll start doing segments and the. We got Bitcoin, Ether, Ethereum, Dash, Monero, Zcash. There's just what's happening. Are these different cryptocurrencies that are coming up like out of the blue? And that sounds like a really layperson question, but it is.
Well, Bitcoin being the primary. The little baby that is now considered grandfathered worldwide.
Okay.
Bitcoin was the first opportunity for people who had a computer program to search through a specific algorithm with very specific parameters and create a serial number that had not been brought into existence.
Wow.
Okay. That's Bitcoin. The parameters are so specific. The guidelines are so specific that 40,000 other so-called miners had to verify that that serial number is correct. And it has never, ever been brought into existence. And it had to contain a series of letters, numbers, both uppercase and lowercase. And once it's confirmed that that serial number has never existed, that miner or the creator of that serial number got to own it.
Okay.
So
okay.
Now you're talking.
And it doesn't get duplicated just one time. Okay. Go ahead.
It can only happen once. So now you just mentioned Ethereum, Dogecoin, and Monero, which is very, very prevalent all throughout Mexico. People needed to create a currency that would supplant or replace the fiat currency that's issued by the government.
Okay.
We can also take a look at one that you did not mention. I'm surprised you didn't mention it, because this is one that has been running in existence.
In Africa? Brazil?
It's actually in Kenya, Africa. The name of the currency is M-Pesa, just an M,
okay,
a dash, and the word Pesa, because
yes,
Pesa in their,
yes,
particular language means paid for. Okay.
And they're doing it because the vendors, I mean, even people, you know, it's very much safer for them, right, rather than getting their money stolen, I believe, from what
oh my goodness,
I've read
60,
before, yeah.
Yeah, the 60-minute report that was produced 9 years ago, when the blonde lady, I forget her name, I apologize, she went down to King Africa to find out what had happened with these people after using currency on their telephones after a period of 1 year. And she saw the country flourishing.
Wow,
people were happy.
Fantastic.
They had these little flip phones, and everybody stored their currency on their phone. And in less than 1 year, the crime rate dropped to almost
wow,
zero. The murder rate dropped to next to nothing. And what I looked at is, okay, it took 3 to 5 years. 93% of the people in Kenya, Africa, adopted the use of digital currency. Safety, speed, and accuracy were the three things they had. With bank-issued currency or government-issued currency or politically-issued currency, if I want to call it, I call any currency that's issued by a government is politically-issued currency. It has a political agenda to it.
Right.
Mass-based currency has no agenda.
Fantastic.
Mass-based currency has no agenda. One more time. Mass-based currency has no expectations other than a value-to-value, truthful transaction between the buyer and the seller. That is mass-based currency. The key question we have to all ask ourselves, is the planet ready for it?
That's a good point. That's a good point. It's just such a – because you get the pluses and minuses, and but I'm all for it. I think it's a matter of making sure you're dealing with – I mean, legitimate people, legitimate companies. I know I've seen it where people – it says you can even transfer your IRA to Bitcoin, you know, with Bitcoins. You can – it's just a lot of company. What, PayPal's using it. You said Alibaba. So now let's go into the iPro network and how that works and what it's about and how it's growing by leaps and bounds.
Okay. Okay. So ask me the question that you'd like to answer.
Oh, if you want to mention anything else, go ahead. I don't want to change. I don't want to take us totally off the other explaining what it is. Is there anything else you want to put out there before we switch over to what the network is?
Well, I will explain what I feel the network is or might
okay.
be, only from personal experience what has happened with me. Is that okay if I do that?
Absolutely, sir.
All right. So here's what iPro Network means to me. I joined iPro Network because I realized that the young kids in my community all love to shop, and they don't do it at stores anymore. They're shopping online or through the telephone. And when I was given the opportunity to participate with Procurrency, PROC, which is now called Bitcoin's baby brother, I said,
Procurrency.
Yeah, PROC. It's
okay.
actually called PROC on the exchanges.
Okay.
And everybody has given it a nickname, Bitcoin's baby brother. Those people who deal with digital currencies on a regular basis, they've named this new coin
yes.
Bitcoin baby brother. And I couldn't quite grasp the concept. When I first started analyzing the company back in November, December of last year, I started reading through all the white papers, and I realized that this whole company is originating in the region of South America, Brazil, Venezuela, Paraguay, Uruguay, and also Mexico. And I realized that the people who are creating the network to verify each transaction and each creation of a serial number, because digital currency is nothing more than a serial number. Once you get it, you own it free and clear. It cannot be taken by any government agency. It can't be stolen. It can't be ripped off from you. You own that serial number. I mean, it's like bringing spirituality back into the existence of, is each man worthy of his labor? And if each man is worthy of his labor, shouldn't he be able to keep his labor? Well, these Bitcoin enthusiasts said, let's create a little small offshoot, or let's take a road less traveled and create a currency that has more stability than Bitcoin and that has value through the internet, and let's start gifting it away to people through a shopping app. That was the concept. That was the thought.
Through a shopping app. Okay.
Right. There's always a thought that originates, and then the creation process starts.
Exactly.
And then all kinds of people start coming together and saying, yes, I'd like to participate in helping you bring this thought into being. I mean, that's how I've developed most every company that I've worked with, bringing four companies from research and development status to an IPO, initial public offer. This is what I've worked with. This is what I've assisted people with. And I know that everything starts with a thought. So the people at – go ahead.
Well, I'm looking at it. Procurrency is only – it's not even a – oh, wow. Is it – it's trading at next to nothing? I wonder if I'm looking at the right –
You're looking at the right one. It's P-R-O-C, and it should say 0.043 That's it. It's around 4 cents. Okay?
Wow.
That's the value of the currency. 4 cents. So what I ended up doing is I exchanged, I think it was $5,000 or $10,000 into the pro currency when it was a penny.
Okay.
All right? And that was around December of last year. So if I bought something that had a value of a penny and now it has a value of 4 cents, did I stay ahead of the Dow Jones Industrials? I sure did. Because the Dow Jones Industrials has not quadrupled.
No.
Okay. And I'm saying I divested instead of invested. Because I divested, when you divest, that means that whatever you divest into, you own it free and clear. When you invest, some other entity is between you and the piece of paper that you think you own. Okay, so that's an investment. That's why the investment advisors are required. So let's take it one step further. What does IPN mean to me? 3 weeks ago, my Epson printer ran out of ink. And I was going to jump down to Office Depot, which is about 6 blocks from where I live, and pick up a 4-pack of black ink for an Epson printer. I said, well, let's wait a minute. Since I got involved with this IPN thing, let's take a look at their shopping app, and let's see how much that same printer ink costs me through the app. I mean, it doesn't hurt at all.
Right.
So I pulled up my telephone, and I tapped on the words Office Depot. I'm not a very technologically advanced kind of a guy, but I do have a finger, and I know how to tap my phone. I've learned how to tap my phone, okay? So I tap on Office Depot, and it says, raise your, or scan the barcode on the product you want to replace. So I figured, okay, this is getting too easy now. I took the box. The printer ink came in because I had an empty cartridge and I had to save the box. I scanned the barcode. It says, yeah, here you go, a 4-pack of printer ink. Now, I have to give you how much I've been paying for it for the past 3 years.
Right, right.
I've been paying $48 for a box of four something, something, 1, 2, 5 cartridges. Every couple of months, I buy a box of 4 of these things, and it's always cost me $48, right?
Right.
So the,
right.
the application on the telephone, it says, here, you can have that 4 packaged box of printer ink. Here's your price, $14. Would you like to buy it now? And, oh, by the way, you're going to get $3.20 worth of digital currency at 4 cents a piece added to your wallet. And, you know, I clicked yes.
Okay, so let me ask it because that's amazing. So the 14 instead of 48, but then – and it gets shipped to you or what?
It says, would you like it shipped or would you like to pick it up?
So you can actually pick it up. How is that possible? I mean, I'm just being a layperson asking, how's that possible? It's 48, and then the discount's going to take it down to 14.
You know, I asked that same question. So when I selected a store that I was going to pick it up at, which is 6 blocks from where I live at Santa Barbara, I live in the downtown region of Santa Barbara, very, very close to Gutierrez Street and State Street, where there's an Office Depot on the corner, right? So
right.
I get down to the Office Depot 15 minutes after I had clicked buy now. Okay. And I get down to the Office Depot, and the package of printer ink is in a little brown bag sitting on the counter, and it's marked paid in full with my name on it.
Wow.
And the lady came over, and she says, don't ever tell anybody what you paid for that package.
But
and
so
I said,
you're saying, go ahead.
I asked her, I said, why not? I mean, I'm just a normal everyday consumer. I'm picking up a package of 4 printer inks
right.
that fit my Epson printer. I haven't done anything wrong. She says, don't ever tell anybody how much you paid for it. And I said,
but that's not, but that, so that's through the iPro network that all these discounts are coming in because of the network using the iPro digital currency?
6,000 merchants have joined the platform to distribute
okay.
pro currency, including New York Times.
Okay, so let me ask you that: is it just from because I'm trying? Is it calculating? Like for example, when we have like if you wanted to do not that we're if people that are trading monies and they're trading in different currencies, you know, whether they're trading in euros or Swiss francs or you know just different currencies, and they're taking their money and they're back and forth. And they're really good at it, and they're, you know, making money and trading. So is this kind of like what the value is of the PROC versus the dollar? It gives you that, plus the merchants that have signed up or agreeing to discount? I mean, just on an overview.
Well,
or just
what
basically,
it's
rewards, I guess, right? I'm kind of trying to...
Yeah. Yes, they call it rewards, but they actually deposited digital currency to my electronic wallet. At the time
okay.
that I picked up, at the time that I picked up the product, and I asked the lady, "Why don't you want me to tell other people how much I paid?" She says, "Because I'll lose my job in less than a year."
Mm. Huh.
And then I asked her, "Well, how come?" And I was kind of whispering to her at this point in time, "How come I've been paying $48 a piece for these things for the past 3 years?" And now all of a sudden, I got them for. She said, "Don't say it. I know how much you paid for it."
Hmm.
I said, "How can they do and sell me that same product through this phone app for?" And I told her the dollar amount, $14. And she says, "The internet has no overhead." Okay, are you with me?
Right. No.
Yeah.
No. I get it. So that's a. That's wow, we're running down to the we need another hour with you. We really do. We want to get you back. Because,
I'm just getting started and having fun. The internet has
the
no
network,
overhead.
So you could, okay, so you get in there and then they sell packages and you buy packages and you go on and interesting. Okay.
Yes, you can buy a package that contains a certain amount of digital currency, but that's not the only thing it contains. It contains the apparent availability to create a store. And several of the young kids that live in the Los Angeles area, they had been fired from their jobs as, you guessed it, a clerk at a clothing store.
Sure.
The
sure.
clothing stores were going out of business all throughout Los Angeles. The entire clothing industry is shutting down at Los Angeles right now because I know several people who are actively involved bringing wholesaling the raw materials for clothing into America through Los Angeles, and they're virtually at a standstill.
Right, most makes sense. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay. So people that worked at a clothing store as retail clerks, they lost their jobs. And this young lady says to me, what can I do? I says, why don't you start an online store? If you purchased a small package for $100, and that's all she had, I says, I'm going to pay the fee for activating your account, $50. If you have $100, you can buy your own store. She bought her own store. She's clearing $2,000 a week selling
that's
widgets
right.
that she doesn't
Fantastic.
Have to stock. She doesn't have to ship anywhere. And
so the stores that actually let you set up your own store, because we were looking at going ahead and taking Bitcoins, you know, with our Realty Universal, with our brokerages, because we actually have merchant accounts, and we were looking at, you know, accepting Bitcoins, right, even though the amount is much higher, so higher right now. But so with this, they let you, through the iPro network, you can set up a store, and you can actually get items drop ship, so to speak, and get the discounts, but it's with the iPro network. It's those 6,000 merchants that have signed up, I would assume, right? It has to be the
yes.
people that are within that network. And so somebody that wants to start another business could actually set up a store and then do drop shipping and everything like they would if they were going to do it other ways, through eBay or through other avenues, and just do it all
yes.
through. And then you had mentioned Alibaba too, so that's part of the whole Alibaba's on. Items go up on Alibaba, because that's huge.
Most of the items that are sold through Alibaba do have, if you have the app on your phone and you're purchasing an item through Alibaba or through another, Alibaba is a platform, it's not a store. Amazon
right, right.
is not a store, it's a platform.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It combines the buyer with the seller. So these platforms is part of the training that you get with the $100 package.
Right.
You get $100 worth of coins to spend or trade or stake for mining, and I'm not going to go into staking for mining.
No, we need another 3 hours now.
we
really
okay.
do. We got to bring you back.
Some of the kids down in Los Angeles, when they saw what this girl was doing, and she's all of a sudden she's no longer poor, she's no longer starving, and she's no longer out of a job, she's earning a living because she set up a store for $100. Now, where in the world can you go into business for $100?
I know. I signed up on here when Lynn was talking about it before, but haven't ever really looked at it because we're so swamped with what we do, but we're always trying to give back, you know, to that. It's amazing. That's really incredible, incredible idea, incredible the way they're doing it. I just didn't think, wow.
Now all of her coworkers that had been let go or discharged from the company at the same time she was, they all realized what she was doing, and they asked her, what are you doing? And she says, well, this guy in Santa Barbara, he loaned me $50 to get my activation going, and I scratched together $100. And this other young lady, she couldn't even get together the $50 to get the activation. So what she did was she borrowed $10 each from five of her friends, and that's how she paid her activation. And she's earning more than $4,000 each week selling these little spinning devices that spin off of your back patio when the wind blows.
Why do these little things sell better than anything? I'm like amazing how much stuff sells. You know, like the Post-it notes. I mean, who would want to? I mean, can you imagine? But, that's fantastic. That is really fantastic.
Wow.
So this is a situation, and that's a situation where somebody could get in and then they utilize. Is every form of every form of use of money or trade in the iPro network, is it strictly definitely cryptocurrency, right? Everything is.
Well, there's portions of the stores. There's roughly 60,000 new stores that are going to be coming online before the end of October. Because
why so much from 6,000 to 60? Just because, I mean, okay.
Because the iBuyRight network is roughly 60,000 stores. They're going to be coming online, and they're going to also be gifting digital currency with each transaction. And when you're gifted digital currency with each transaction, in other words, you received it for free, it has value, what do you do with it after you receive it? That's usually the question most people ask me. Where
you have to put it in a wallet, the Coinbase? You have to put it in your wallet? I mean, is that – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's a private wallet called a ProCommerce wallet.
Okay.
okay? Because there's four separate platforms to IPN, and I have become familiar with each of the platforms. I went down to the company headquarters at Costa Mesa, California, four separate occasions now. I visited with the people who were the president, the chief executive officer, the vice president. I visited with each one of the people just to look them in the eye, shake their hand, and not challenge their integrity, but what does my body feel when I'm talking with these people, okay?
Right.
Intuition. I have learned to be guided by intuition for most of my life. That's why I've made so many wise financial decisions, because I realize that we can earn. Everybody has the capacity to earn, but not many people have been taught how to hold on to what they earn.
I agree. That's very easy to make money, and then it goes and goes, and exactly.
So here is a forced, and I call it a forced savings account in digital currency that will increase in value whether you want it to or not, because of adoption, acceptance, and usability. Those are the three key words. How long will it take for the American people to adopt what the people in Kenya, Africa adopted in less than 3 years? How long did it take for the American people to start using the internet to send emails instead of licking stamps and licking envelopes?
Right, you're right.
It took 7 years for the American people to do that. Now, why did it take so long for the American people to adopt email, whereas the people in Europe adopted the use of email in less than a year and a half? And it was education, education, education.
Mm-hmm.
We have to overcome our fear of doing something new. I know that when I click that send button, when I sent an email to you late last night, or you sent an email to me, when you clicked that send button, you had no fear that it was going to arrive, did you?
No. Well, no, but I understand what you're saying, because people are comfortable with it now, even though technology is not perfect. It's a way of doing business now. It's an accepted way of doing business. So I hear you. Yes.
Yeah. So how long will it take for the American people to have an accepted way of doing business, sending value through the Internet, knowing that it's going to arrive without depletion, without inflation, and without depreciation?
Wow. We got to get you back here, because this is just no. This is For people that want information on this too, they can email radio@realityuniversal.com, and we can get you all the information as well.
Wow.
This is JP. This is fantastic. This has been so.
Yeah.
So you know now people really, because of social networking and how people are communicating all over the world within seconds. You know, that wasn't that way years and years ago. And people, stores are kind of going out of business. It's online. You know, we still need connections. But networking is huge now. People appreciate and respect networking. You know, and people getting a piece of it off of networking. And so it's amazing what they've done here. So they're taking the networking aspect, right, because you bring people in and all benefit, not like a, what is it, with the platform.
Exactly.
Amazing.
And I don't really call it networking. I call it the newest trend that's happening all across the planet. It's called the shared economy.
Oh, I love it. Shared economy.
Shared economy.
And, you know, this is giving the power back to the people, like we try to do with real estate menu systems where, you know, people have choices and we're giving the power back. Uber's giving the power back. I can see this is giving the power back, too. It's just incredible. Incredible.
Well, wow. if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a blue thing. It says the largest bank on the planet owns no currency and has no buildings. The largest real estate provider owns no buildings. That would be Airbnb. The largest taxi cab company on the planet owns no cars, except now in San Francisco they have the self-driving cars. That would be
and
Uber.
they're getting sued by now. They're in a lawsuit with Google. So
yeah. So
it would have been easier if they just stayed away from that. No, I'm just kidding, but you know what I mean.
So we're realizing that there are changes that are coming. We can be an adopter of the change, or we can just observe the change. And I offer people three options. You can observe or profit from the changes that are coming. It's your choice. People are going to profit whether you do or not. It's your choice to accept the concept, run with the concept, save by using the concept, and your life will be better for it if you choose to share it with others.
Yes, wow. Sir. We want to have you're going to come back, right? Could we have you like maybe once a month at least? Could we try to get you away from your crazy schedule, your lovely schedule? I mean, I shouldn't say crazy. You're so on a mission. I love it. It's just these people, like, I'm the same way. We're on missions. We're working all the time in our passion, right?
Mm. Well, once you develop the passion for something and then you develop the skill set that goes along with the passion, then there's never any fear of where your next form of income is coming from. Not only do you have a passion, you have a skill set, you'll never, ever have to worry about your next paycheck.
And serving, right? Because you're giving back, you're doing something good for the people, it comes back over and over to you.
Over and over.
Awesome. Wow. Wow. Maybe we'll get you, oh, I'll talk to you another time. I'm not going to commit you to once a month, but we would love it. So we'll get you.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Natalie, take a look at my Facebook page, and if there's anything there that you want to share on your own Facebook page, please feel free. But that short one-line picture that says the largest bank on the planet has no bank and has no currency, the largest real estate, post it on your page, and then we can post a link called Pro-Currency. Excuse me. I'll send you the link via email rather than give it out over the radio program. And with your username, once you've identified what your username is, and let people log in through your username and just start playing with the app. It costs you nothing to play with the phone app. The savings are so immense, you can't help but sharing it with other people.
It's a J.P. Yunka. Oh, you're incredible. And, I want to see
that
and how the money trades in real time, too. All that good stuff. It's really amazing education.
Yeah. Check out his Facebook page again, J.P. Yunka, Y-U-N-K-A. And man, oh, man, oh, man. I'm all in on all of the above, so I got to get caught up on this, man. Where have I been?
That's right. Randy,
thank you.
It's so good to – which city are you at, California?
I'm near Fresno, California, near Yosemite. We're up in the mountains near Yosemite, yeah.
Well, so, I'm sure that you'll find something here within this network that has combined four of the major trends, e-learning, e-commerce, e-currency, and a shared economy. Those are the four major trends at the planet. One company has chosen to combine all four into one platform, and that's a unique accomplishment.
Mm. Yes,
wow,
sir. So
good. Well, on behalf of all of our listeners, man, thank you again so much. This was so enlightening. I am fired up, Coach. I'm ready. Put me in.
We're ready.
Woo! Wow, Natalie, great show.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me be on the show.
And
I will gladly commit to doing once a month if you want.
Well,
no problem at all.
Awesome. Thank you.
Love it, love it, love it. Thank you.
Thanks, JP.
And
thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show, and I do sincerely appreciate your questions and your comments. And one of these days, we're going to open it up for questions from the audience.
Yes, we'll have more time. We'll have to do it in the beginning. We will do that, absolutely. So to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.